Brokering success demands a battle-ready strategy. TIE TMS equips brokers with the ultimate battle station for conquering a tough market. With TIE, brokers gain access to a comprehensive platform where rate intelligence and quote history coverage on a single screen. Revolutionize the way your brokers perform by giving them a competitive advantage with TIE TMS. For more info, visit tiesoftware.com/battlestation.
Welcome back to another edition of Check Call. Today we're covering all things connectivity. Don't forget to subscribe to Check Call, the newsletter on freightwaves.com if you haven't already. Today we welcome Mitch Burnett, CEO and partner at Atadex. Welcome to the show, Mitch.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
I am excited about today because as someone who has struggled through and limped through an EDI connectivity in her past life, I'm very excited to dig into it today. But before we get too far into that, let's get some background on you and kind of why you started Atadex.
I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. It's known as the city of champion, singular. They've won one thing since I've been alive, so kind of did that. My background, my history really is I started with Union Pacific Railroad out of college. Went from there to APL Logistics and then to Hub Group. And then we started our own company about 2003. We moved here to Atlanta. Started a company called Integra Logistics that became Coyote Logistics after a few years with that. We've been lived in 17 cities around the country as I've moved throughout the freight market, and really just have enjoyed everything about being in logistics because everything's so different about it. Every day is different, and the demands on it are so incredible compared to what regular business is like. So it's been a fun ride as we've gone through it, and now that we're past the part where we're doing the 3PL piece that we did with Coyote, getting in a new area for us right now has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I love that. I feel like the challenges of the supply chain are never ending. And given your long history in the industry, I feel like you've seen quite a few changes come down the pipe.
Yeah, some of the things that are really interesting is that the demands in this business are so incredible on the logistics side. I had a friend of mine who was the vice president of logistics for the Dan and Company and then for Imperial Bondware before that, which was a part of International Paper. And as we do stuff in the EDI space today, the demands on EDI, the accuracy of the information, things like that. But the people we talk to are usually working a 9-to-5 shift and things like that. But when I went up to visit my friend who was at Imperial Bondware, she was in her office and there was chaos throughout the floor out there, and they're delivering copy paper basically to Staples and Office Max and Office Depot. And everyone's going completely nuts because the papers, for whatever reason, the drivers are behind or something's going on. And she actually went out, rang a bell and said, "Hey, listen, we're not delivering kidney dialysis machines here. We're delivering paper, copy paper to warehouses that have tons of copy paper in it already." But it's just the demands on the logistics side are so incredible compared to just regular things, even from things where you're talking about drivers trying to get to a location, and I would have a customer call me up upset that my driver's late, and I go, "Where are you?" He goes, "Well, I'm stuck in traffic." I go, "Yeah, it's the same traffic that my driver's in," and they just don't understand it, how it works in that situation. So it's been, for me, it really prepares you to be excellent at everything, because there's never really any good news on the logistics side. I really never get a customer calls and says, "I can't believe you delivered that on time. That was awesome." Most every call that comes in is negative. And so dealing with that kind of negative stuff and then be able to use that type of energy to drive improvements in their customer operations has been a big reason why we ended up starting Atadex as well.
I think we're just delivering things. It is probably one of the most underrated things in logistics. I used to deliver seed warehouses. So again, we're delivering seed to places that already have seed. And they're like, "Oh, it needs to get there today. It needs to get there today." And I'm like, "Look, nobody's going to die if a warehouse full of seed gets slightly less seed today. Like, dial it back. Dial it back." Because one of the girls I sat next to, her previous job was a dispatcher for like organ transplant. And I go, "People will die if you make a mistake there." And she goes, "I had no business doing that job. It was the most stressful job of my life." She goes, "Whereas here, it's seed. It's going to be okay. Nobody's going to die if seed doesn't get there on time." But yeah, I think that that's something that when we get caught up in the day to day, we forget a lot, is that we just need to step back and see that bigger picture of like, it's not going to be the end of the world if something's a little late, you know? And also, contrary to popular belief, truck drivers are impressive and they do really cool things, but they are subject to traffic as well.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And it's probably one of the most difficult jobs in the country as they go through it, because they really don't get the respect they deserve for doing the work that they do. And I've traveled a lot of miles with drivers delivering freight, and it's really interesting to see the quality of the people that are doing that work, which is a very high quality person, and then how poorly they're treated at a lot of locations that are out there. I think the trucking companies do a great job of trying to take care of their drivers, but I don't really think that the rest of the community is as good at understanding how challenging that job is. The big key I think for us is that the logistics business, any of the supply chain businesses, they're high volume, low margin businesses. And what happens is they're lower margin businesses than what people are in a lot of other industries. And so what really happens is that the bulk of your costs are people costs. And as you're going through those types of things, as you go through there. So when we started out initially with Coyote Logistics, was the biggest thing was, how do we improve the number of shipments that our people can handle every day? And so the way that we were able to do that is really, that was one of our big KPIs, was loads per person per day managed by our frontline customer service reps or our frontline carrier service reps. As they were dealing with those things, they could only handle so many shipments because they were tracking and tracing loads, calling drivers, trying to find things out there. But with an EDI transaction and all of those manual processes being done electronically, it freed up those people to do even to a much higher level of customer service than what they were used to in the past. And so instead of mindless manual entry, they're in there actually going in and doing problem solving. And instead of trying to concentrate on all shipments moving through to find out which ones are moving at the right speed or on time for a delivery, they're able to go in and look at the ones that are in jeopardy of missing a delivery appointment, give a customer a heads up days or, you know, even a week in advance that this is going to be behind, so the customer can react. And so with EDI, that information goes moves smoothly into the situation or into any of their TMSs or WMS operations. And then when that information is in there, the people can use it. It's in real time at their fingertips, so they can make decisions that are going to improve the quality of the business for their customers. And it really, overall, because you can move more shipments per person per day, you need less people to do it. And that's really what drives the profitability of the business. It eliminates the errors that comes along with manual entry, and it allows the people to do more work. And so we were able to grow our business a little over 25% just by integrating EDI into it without adding an additional person. And then in this business, because it's such a challenging business, it requires a certain type of person that can handle dealing with bad news and negative situations all day long as you go through that. So being able to be in a situation where you now have the information at your hands to do what you need to do is one thing, but it's hard to find that quality person that can manage that activity on a day-to-day basis without, you know, wanting to kill themselves, I guess, or whatever. But it's a very challenging situation for them. So if you can do it with less people, you can really make the people you have, the jobs they have, better. And it helps you with retention as well as we go through that.
So give us some background on, you've kind of touched on it a little bit, but what exactly does Adidex do? And kind of, I know you guys are kind of leaders in the EDI space. So what exactly do you guys do that does help that integration and help that automation throughout the rest of the operation?
So we're a data integration company. So it's not just EDI. We'll do API integrations, things. Anytime that anybody needs to talk to another customer, we can connect those systems together so they can seamlessly talk. When I explain it to people outside the industry, or people don't really understand what we have here, it's almost like the United Nations. If the person up on the podium is speaking in Spanish, when he speaks into the microphone in Spanish, the person that's from Brazil is hearing it in Portuguese. He speaks back in Portuguese. We translate it back into Spanish so the person in Spanish can hear it. It's the same here. Each of the TMSs or WMS platforms have some level of kind of language that they speak. And so what we do is we translate from one to the other so that that language can, so that each system can understand each other. So we will go in, we're a fully managed service provider. So we do everything from beginning to end. There's a lot of our customers who used to do it internally themselves. And now we've taken that over for them because we could do it more cost effectively. They can do it themselves. With the Additex solution, there's really no software to buy. There's no really infrastructure needs to support it. You don't need to have a team of people working servers to support the new software you just purchased. And they don't need additional people to do the work. So we do everything from the beginning to the end with that. We're truly a full service, and we manage every aspect of it. It's everything we do is personalized, and I think that's what separates us from a lot of the other providers out there, is each of our customers has a dedicated project manager here in the United States that knows their account inside and out. So if there's a problem, most of the times we are proactively managing it. But if there's a problem that one of our customers have, their issue, they're not just sending in a random ticket into our system. They actually have, well, we have a ticketing system, but they also have a project manager that they can call on the phone if it's an emergency and get that project manager to address that problem right away. The biggest issue in logistics is time is always of the essence. And so as we're dealing with these companies out there, if you've got a load coming from one of your customers and that shipment advice is coming in an inbound 204, which is a load tender into our system, if you don't answer that within 15 minutes, a lot of times you lose that opportunity to do the load. If we got a drayage carrier that's taking a shipment to a port or they're taking a shipment to a rail ramp, if that EDI transaction isn't in the hands of the port or the drayage ramp or the railroad ramp by the time they get there, then it gets turned away. And a lot of times that turned away drayage is the difference between that company making money on that shipment or not, because they have to pay a duplicate dray on something like that. So everything in our space is really driven around speed is of the essence. The information has to get through timely and accurately and immediately. And so that's really where we focus on 100%.
As someone who used to work and I had a system that if something went wrong, I would have to submit a ticket and then wait 2 to 3 business days for someone to reach out to try to solve my problem. And then it would take 2 to 3 weeks for them to actually resolve my problem. I cannot tell you how refreshing it is that there is a provider out there that will I can literally just call and they can immediately start working on it instead of I submit my ticket along with everything that's wrong with it, screenshots, everything that I need. And then I just have to wait and not do my job for a few days until they decide that it's my turn to get work on.
Yeah, and a lot of times that the difference of that shipment, if that's not fixed, you don't know how many shipments you're going to miss as you go through there. And that's one of the big keys on that. So as you look at, you know, how does it help companies? When we were working in the 3PL arrangement, it was much easier working for the railroad because the railroad can dictate policy to customers and what they want to do because there's only so many of those. But in the 3PL environment, it's incredibly competitive and you're really only as good as your last error. A lot of the stuff that we work on is seen, you know, with 99% on-time performance and all these things. And even with us, I think the biggest thing for myself and my business partner, Chuck Herzog, when we started this business was when we were working with Coyote Logistics. We worked for a guy named Jeff Silver there. Jeff Silver was an American backhaulers guy. He was with C.H. Robinson for a number of years. He came over and started Coyote. We connected with him very early on to build the company together. But Jeff's specialty around, besides just being, you know, really knowledgeable at the business, was driven around technology. And so he built a Bazooka platform. It was in the process of building that when we kind of came together. And that Bazooka platform was the TMS that we used to run Coyote. And so what Jeff kind of instilled in all of us is your ability to manage the business is only as good as the TMS that you have that's managing it. So put a lot of effort into that. And then, you know, and from Additex, my perspective, how we fit into that, we don't make TMSs or WMSs or any of the ERP systems, but we make the systems that you have already invested in better, because we provide the data that goes into those systems to make the systems optimized more effectively. And I think that's one of the things that Chuck and I learned from working with Jeff Silver over the course of those years before the company was sold, that driving customer performance is key to a successful business. And that business grew from basically zero to about $2.8 billion in revenue when finally sold to UPS. But it's all driven around meeting customer, or really exceeding customer expectations, and having the right data in the right place, driving the TMS performance so that people can do the work on the front line to drive a competitive advantage for your business. And I think one of the things that we've really developed at Adidex is a competitive advantage in EDI. And there's a lot of things that we do that enable you to have a much more effective product for your customer because we can get the data where you need it, when you need it.
There's a lot of great TMSs out there, but I have never met one that has successfully integrated everything that with like that EDI or API calls have been integrated successfully, where the carrier is sending the right information, the shipper is sending the right information. There was one time I spent 6 months with one carrier just trying to get one letter changed in what they send over in their EDI. I was like, I just need you to change one letter. And then literally hundreds of invoices a week I would not have to manually touch. Took 6 months. I even like tried to not pay them for a little bit and they still didn't care. And finally, it was only because we like found the CTO and messaged him on LinkedIn. It was like, hey, we're having problems with your IT team. Can we get some help? And that finally made it happen. Whereas if there was just kind of a partner that could go and say, oh yeah, we've got this, don't worry about it, because that was time taken off of like what we could be doing for our customer and the extra, you know, value that we could give them, that we were spent battling with someone over one letter needing to be changed in a data file.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that, Mary, is that with the in that situation specifically, our system automatically manages watches every message that goes through. So if you were getting invoices rejected like that, our system would have picked that up. And then our system identifies specifically where that problem is, and then our people go in and fix it so that the invoices can go through. So you might have one or two that go through with an error on it, but we'll proactively manage that and fix it. And I think one of the biggest things that when we talk to our customers about what they like about our platform is they've got an ability to research with most of our competitors. They have ability to research where they can go into a database and dig around and look for where a problem is. But if they're shipping 1,000 shipments a day and there's 214 messages and the status messages, there's load tenders, there's invoices, all of that stuff as it goes, they have to search through those to look for where the error is. And our system automatically identifies the error, which message is the error in, and then what specifically happened. And then the system pings our own people that are on that project team for one of our customers, and they go in and fix it specifically. And I think the biggest thing in logistics for us is there's always a leveraging situation going on between everyone in logistics, it seems, because it's a high volume, low margin business. A lot of the profitability of business depends on your ability to manage things correctly the first time. And what we found is that if you do a lot of manual input, there's a small percentage, maybe 2 or 3% of those that input that's put in wrong. And there's these transposition errors that then show up downstream in a wrong invoice, a wrong address for a customer, whatever it is, all that stuff gets destroyed. And then in the end, the biggest challenge in our industry is around accessorial charges. Everyone agrees to a rate up front. Then there's accessorial charges on the back end. And then if you don't have the accessorial documented correctly, then you don't get paid. And if you don't get paid on your accessorials, then we have a choice as a 3PL to do one of two things. One is we don't pay the carrier, and then the carrier stops hauling for us because they need to get paid because they need to pay their driver. Or we pay the accessorial, they'll know we can't collect it, and then we keep the carrier, but then we lose money on that shipment. So with EDI and the information being directly integrated into the system, you have a proof statement that says this message was sent at this time, this message was opened at this time. You know that that was the data that was in there because it was transmitted electronically. They didn't put in, we didn't put in as 3/4/24 instead of putting 3/2/44. and that screws up the date or something like that. Something as simple as that, as you're blowing through a lot of invoices, you talked about touching on hundreds of invoices. Once you get through the first 10, you're usually brain dead, and you're like, okay, how am I going to get through the next 90 of these? So how do we fix that and make that work? So having that real time accurate information there, and that audit trail that they can go back to really eliminate the he said she said around all of these extra charges is key. And then a couple of our larger trucking companies that we do business with today have gotten recognized by their customers, Target stores in particular, as being the best at their performance scorecard because of the information that we transmit. So we're the highest ranked EDI provider for Target in terms of getting the information in accurately and timely. And our carriers have moved up significantly on the Target scoreboard, and as a result, our scorecard, and as a result of that, they get more business. So it's really, again, something as simple and innocuous as EDI becomes a competitive advantage for these carriers with really nothing that they need to do on their own at all, except just turn that over to us and let us manage it.
That is, I think, one of the most undervalued things is almost everyone requires an EDI connectivity at some point in time, or it's 2024. Everyone has it, but it's what you do with it and how you choose to use it. Because most people just want it so I can tender you load data, or I can send you whatever I need to send you. But I think those that really lean into it and harness it, there's a whole world out there for them to take. And like you said, those carriers are just climbing up those carrier scorecards because they're solving so many things that could be an email that I'm fighting back and forth with you on of like, oh, can you send this? Can you do this? Or I'm missing this information. And that way I don't have to take that time to make an email train because we've already addressed this and we're saying, okay, we're just going to send this complete in a data file, meaning I don't have to sit here and email you 700 times a day. It's going to be great. And to me, not only is that going to be more successful, more business for that customer, for that carrier, as that customer, I'm going to choose them every time because I don't have to mess with them. Some of my favorite carriers are the ones that I didn't hear from with problems because I had plenty of others that kept me busy with problems. But when someone was like, I'm coming into town, and I was like, yes, you are. And I have no one that wants to meet and yell at you because you do your job and you do it well.
Yeah, it's funny with that situation is everybody's busy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody's really sitting around in the logistics space looking for stuff to do. All day long, people are really busy. And then in a lot of companies, EDI is kind of an afterthought, and it's very difficult for companies, right? So as a result of that, there's generally a large lag time between mm-hmm. the request for EDI and getting the connectivity completed. And so that's where we come in because we drive that process and we're on it because that's what we do. So we're all over that to make that happen. But when we engage with somebody, most of the times they're saying they've got an EDI lag of somewhere between 1 month, and even one of the large customers had a 2-year integration backlog. And we were able to eliminate that 2-year backlog and continue doing all their work within 90 days, even with the new stuff coming in. And then in the environment we live in today, it's a very competitive environment. For the first time in a while, the shippers have the upper hand in negotiations with a lot of this stuff. So they're out there getting new rates and they're making changes to their carrier base to try and drive profitability in their own business, which is understandable. But at the same time, if you're a Walmart or a Target and you've got a new lane of business, they're not going to just go, okay, well, you can't get your EDI connected, so I'm going to have, you know, somebody in my shop send you an email, or we're going to text you with the load. They're not going to do it. So you won't be able to start the new business until you have EDI connectivity. And I believe that we're the fastest integration of any company out there because everyone in our organization understands the demands around logistics. So the business can't start until the EDI connectivity is done. So we spend all of our time making sure that we can get those connections up so you can start that new business sooner, which improves the profitability of your company. And with the companies being out there today, they're way too busy to do these workarounds. And the other part of it is when you're dealing in this space, most of our customers have no idea what really EDI costs them. They get a total bill at the end of the month, but they don't know what that bill is in. It's either in kilo characters or a lump sum of something else. In our system, the way we do it, we don't do anything on like for mapping. we have a flat mapping fee. We think that we're better off having a flat mapping fee than an hourly fee to build maps, because the hourly fee incents you to take a longer time to do maps than a shorter time because you make more money on it. So we have a set thing on map building. The other thing is we have a per message fee. We don't have it by kilo characters. Nobody knows what that is. They have no idea how many kilo characters go into what. So we have messages. And then at the end of the month, nobody knows what customers used what EDI messages. At the end of the month for us, our billing is set up so that you know exactly what you did for mapping. You know exactly what your message costs were. And you get a report from us that says, for your shipments for Walmart this month, you did this many 204 inbound load tenders. You did 204s. You did this many invoice 210s. You did this many status updates at the 214s. And you got this many reconciliations back from your carrier than a 997. But every one of those is outlined specifically, so you can take our EDI information and put it back right against the profitability of your load, so you know if that care, if that customer is really worth what it's really worth to you as a company. So our key is that both Chuck Herzog and I have spent over 35 years in the logistics space, worked on all sides of the business, from the railroad side to the 3PL side to the just stack train side, all those things. We've done LTL, we've done all of that. And everyone in our organization has supply chain experience. And as we go through that, we just want to make sure that they understand it, that we have to deliver on our promises to the customer, because we are going to be the fastest implementation. We're going to be the simplest pricing structure. And we're going to provide a personalized service that nobody else can. So that's really what we're doing.
I absolutely love that. It's like I was saying, who would have thought that EDI connectivity was going to be something that is so important and so underutilized? And I am excited that, you know, you guys have brought that to everyone, and no one then has to sit there and try to open up that raw text file from EDI and count how many stars or spaces over it is to make sure that the codes are in the right spot, as someone who used to sit there and do that herself. I'm very glad that you guys are there to help everyone. That being said, we are running out of time today, but Mitch, we are going to need your best dad joke.
So to trying to figure this stuff out, I ended up talking to my daughter, who's a senior at University of Georgia, and I embarrass her for 22 of her 23 years. So I gave her a list of 10 different dad jokes that she could pick from, and she gave me two that she liked. So
I love
it. Her first one was, what do you call a book club that's been stuck on one book for years?
A book club that's been stuck on one book for years? A wine club?
Church. And then her other one, what she picked was, when's the worst time to have a heart attack?
A dinner?
During a game of charades. No, that was her two favorite, and so I'm sticking with those two. So thank you, Mary, for letting me show with you today. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you so much. If anyone wants to, reach out to get some fire dad jokes, or if they have any questions about getting set up with EDI connectivity, where can they find you outside of the show?
We're at www.atadex.com, addedex.com, and anybody can feel free to reach me at mburnett, M-B-E-R-N-E-T, at addedex.com, and we'll show you what personalized service is all about. Thanks again, Mary. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find Check All the Podcasts anywhere you get your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Don't forget to check out all the other incredible great FreightWave shows. And don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter on FreightWaves.com/check. See you on the internet.